Welcome to Practical Witch Talk, the podcast for practical witches everywhere. I'm your host, Friday Glanhart. This week's almanac topic is about teas. If you have the 2024 Practical Witches Almanac, you'll see that I've outlined 8 botanicals that are useful for experimenting with tea blends. Today I'm going to talk about more botanicals you can incorporate into your magical and culinary forays. Many of the herbs outlined this week in the almanac are utilized in the tea recipes that start on page 158. But you'll notice that some of the tea recipes contain additional herbs I'd like to discuss today. So before we get into the herbs, I'd like to share a method you can use for meeting the plant. This is especially helpful when you're working with plant allies. This method is, of course, a bit of practical magic, so part science and part magic. It's especially helpful when you're meeting a plant for the first time, such as your first harvest from an herb you've grown, or when you obtain the plant from a store. You'll want to document your experience, so use your Book of Shadows, journal, or spellbinder, and write the name of the plant and its binomial, which is a botanical name, or also known as the Latin name, at the top of your page. Binomial is important because there are many common names that are shared by several different species and several genus. So basically, we're going to make sure we're talking about the same plant. And there's a universal language for that, and it's binomials. People do call it Latin names, but it's binomials can be surnames and Greek and Latin words. It can be a mishmash. So binomial is the accurate term for that. So this technique starts with the first thing you do is research on the chemical compounds the herb contains so that you can determine any potential toxicity, side effects, or interactions with medication or any other herbs that you take. You'll note down all this research in your Book of Shadows. The second step is you determine how you're going to incorporate the plant's energy into your own. The herbs we discussed today can be brewed into a tea, burned as an incense, or smoked. Some plants, such as the poison path ladies, like belladonna, should not be consumed in any manner. So you brew your tea for a basic experiment. Brew your tea using the standard 1 teaspoon for every 6 to 8 ounces of hot water. And whenever I say hot water and we're talking about brewing tea, I mean that you just boiled the water and shut it off. So it's got to be above 205 degrees Fahrenheit or nearing 100 degrees centigrade. After brewing the 1 teaspoon for every 6 or 8 ounces of water, you steep that, which means soak it, steep it for 3 minutes. For smoking, I weigh out 1/10 to 1/2 gram. If you don't have a gram scale, just use a very tiny pinch. Put the dried plant material in your pipe or vaporizer. I often use a water pipe to cool and filter the smoke so I don't cough all over the place. And for incense, use an incense charcoal, not one from your barbecue grill. They will emit way more toxins. Use the little round, or sometimes they're square, but use the little discs that are used specifically for incense. And once it's lit and glowing, you're going to add a teaspoon or about 1/2 teaspoon to start of the dried plant. And then add more pinches of the plant to the charcoal as the smoke subsides. Whenever you're combusting something, always have a window cracked. Even when you're burning incense. If the room looks smoky when you're looking across the room, don't spend more than 20 minutes submerged in that smoke. Air it out or go for a walk. The same thing is true for saging. Anytime you're smoke cleansing of your home or any type of room, any enclosure, anytime materials are combusted indoors, make sure you have good ventilation and don't stay in the smoke for too long. Even if it's non-toxic, technically a non-toxic herb that you're combusting, it's going to emit toxins when it's burned. So if you have discovered that the plant is counterindicated with a medication you take, put the herb bundle, a bundle of the herbs, in the center of your altar. If you have dried herbs, you can place it in your offering bowl or in one of your salt and water dishes, or you can just hold it in your hands. So hold the plant material in your hands, set it on your altar in preparation. So when you've decided how you will experience the plant's energy, make your preparations. Like brew your tea, put the water in your pipe, light the charcoal, get it glowing, or arrange the plant on your altar, and then go on to this next step. So the third step is you hold the plant or your cup of tea or your pipe or your censer or whatever you've chosen to bring. Bring that in close to your body. Close your eyes and smell. So you want to inhale slowly through your nose with your mouth slightly open. You may have seen a cat do this before when they're sniffing the air and they have their mouth slightly open. This allows some of the fragrance to touch a part, and I don't know if science confirms this, but I've worked with perfumery for a long time, and it helps it touch a sense in the back of your throat, in the back of your nose. It's hard to explain, but keep your mouth slightly open and inhale through your nose. So you're holding the plant close, or your preparation close. Inhale slowly through your nose with your mouth slightly open. Close your mouth and exhale through your nose. That helps to cleanse out your fragrance palette, so to speak. When you go to the perfume counter in a mall, they might give you some burned coffee or some coffee grounds that is actually you're trying to work with the charcoal in that situation and have a base fragrance that your mind can go back to. But it's one of the best ways to cleanse your nose is to exhale hard through your nose. So inhale slowly through your nose, mouth slightly open, close your mouth and exhale through your nose. Then note any fragrances and any energy perceptions in your book of shadows or journal or grimoire, whatever you want to call it, spellbinder. Then you want to imbibe. So take a small sip of tea or inhale a small amount of smoke. Some of these herbs can be very harsh, so start very tiny. We're not going to do a power hit. This isn't Jay and Silent Bob, just a little tiny bit of smoke. Hold it in your mouth first. For incense, drop the herb on the charcoal and inhale as before, through your nose with your mouth open and exhale through your nose. If you're not consuming the plant, put some of it in the palm of your hands and rub your hands together so that you really crush the leaves and release those fragrant compounds and turbines, and then cup your hand near your nose to continue smelling in the same manner. So as you're experiencing this plant through tea or smoke or however you're doing it, note everything that comes to your mind. Fragrance is a very powerful mind trigger, especially for memories. And some plants will activate specific areas of your mind. Note if you feel relaxed, tense, dreamy, energized, powerful. Everything that comes to your mind, try to note it down. Really pay attention to this step. The impressions you're receiving from your plant ally will determine how that plant can help you. And sure, you can look up the magical correspondences of the plant, and that can help, but it is no substitute for fully experiencing the plant and how its energies are going to blend with your own. So take special note of the thoughts and images that come into your mind. Close your eyes, visualize the plant, living plant, as it grows. You can check out pictures online if you're not growing these plants yourself. Take notice of any symbols or thoughts that come into your mind. Your subconscious will speak to you in patterns and symbols. So as you slowly sip your tea or hold your plant or experience the smoke, see if there are any prominent themes arising in your mind. Now, on to some of the plants mentioned in the tea recipes that are not outlined in this week's almanac topic. Please forgive my Latin and Greek pronunciations, any ones that I might mangle. I try to do my best, and I'm fairly experienced, but I'm no expert. So mugwort is used in the Dreams and Visions tea. She is a wonderful herb whose binomial is Artemisia vulgaris. Artemisia is, of course, a nod to the goddess Artemis. And if you've seen the plant in the moonlight, you'll see her leaves dance and shimmer in the breeze because the underside of each leaf is very silvery, very silvery, sagey, white almost. And it's a little bit soft. And on the top, it's hard and glossy and green. So when the breeze comes along, it kind of flutters and shimmers in the moonlight. And it's just fantastic. It's like a sparkling on snow almost. You can use mugwort to help connect with Artemis, known as the Queen of Witches. The common name mugwort comes to us because it was long used in brewing for certain types of ale, much like hops is used for a flavoring and preservative in ale and beer today. So mug refers to the beverage or cup, wort, any type of word containing wort. That just means a plant or an herb. Like wort cunning is the use of plants. Mugwort is the herb used in the mug for ale. Many occult stores also sell mugwort as black sage. And mugwort is used in food, beverages, incense, smoking blends, but it's very bitter. It's a bitter medicinal, often referred to as the mother of herbs. And pharmacologically, it shows activity in anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, hepatoprotective, antibacterial, antihypertensive, antifungal, and many others. a lot of anti. It's very good. It can be used as a strewing herb in cabins. I have rustic cabins I'm trying to put up on the property, but it can be used as a strewing herb, much like herbs were used in medieval times to keep fleas away. It's also, as a tea, it's a mild vermifuge, which just means dewormer, verma meaning worm. It's a bit more gentle and slightly less bitter than wormwood, which obviously is another wormer, another vermifuge. Mugwort has a variety of unique and fascinating phytochemicals. Phyto means plant, so plant chemicals, among which is, I'm going to try to pronounce this one, artemisinin. It's a compound along with its derivatives used to treat malaria across the world. Many of the phytochemicals are counterindicated during pregnancy, and mugwort should be avoided when you're pregnant and nursing. Also, if you're taking any HIV medications, you'll probably want to avoid mugwort. Chi, mugwort, and her sisters, such as Artemisia absinthum, wormwood, and Artemisia tridentata, big sagebrush, should only be used occasionally. Excessive, prolonged use may cause damage to the liver. The word is still out on this. There haven't been enough studies for me to say completely with full honesty, yeah, it causes liver damage. But there has been some evidence to show that prolonged, consistent, excessive use could cause some serious damage. So I prefer to limit my consumption of mugwort and her sisters to once a month. So this includes any type of consumption, smoking, tea, incense, anytime I'll be inhaling the smoke. I may imbibe her in full moon tea blends or use her in tea baths the night before the full moon, the night of the full moon, and the night after the full moon. So about 3 days running. And then I don't consume any of her or her sisters again for at least 3 weeks. Liver damage aside, consuming mugwort and her sisters more than once a week can cause resistance to artemisinin, that chemical I was talking about that's used for malaria. And because it's used worldwide for malaria, creating a resistance to this wonderful, although derived, chemical can make some of our best cures null and void while potentially causing malaria that's more difficult to combat. So Western culture often emphasizes more is better, but as is often the case with herbs, a little cures and a lot can kill. Mugwort is well suited as an ally for psychics and healers, channelers, and witches. It's highly protective. It helps you tune into your magic, your intuition, and your psychic abilities. So consider how this protection with spiritual and psychic opening can be helpful with contacting spirits, guides, or other entities and energies. For example, if you're going to use the spirit board and you wanted to open up to that spiritual energy, mugwort would be perfect. And it would also help protect from those spirits that you're evoking or invoking. So I recommend burning some mugwort bundles or incense before for protection and opening before using any spirit boards. But I like it also because it doesn't have the banishing and the cleansing or repelling effects that a lot of the other sages have. So it's very good for not messing with the spirits when you're trying to contact them. So mugwort's very helpful when you're handling magic and psychic attacks or curses. It allows you to see or perceive where the attack is coming from while protecting you from the attack and boosting your power to counter the attack. Use a light hand when incorporating mugwort into your tea and smoking blends. Like I said before, she can be bitter. Lavender is used in a love tea, and that recipe specifically names the lavender with the binomial of Lavandula angustifolia. This used to be called Lavandula officinalis. Anytime you see the officinalis, it means of the shop. It was a plant that was used in the apothecaries or used medicinally, especially in Western herbalism. So Lavandula angustifolia, angusta is narrow and folia is leaf, so it means narrow leaf. So it just lavender with a narrow leaf. Lavender is good for reducing anxiety. It can help shift the mind from stressful and inhibiting thoughts, and that makes it a great ally for breaking out of mental ruts and depressive thoughts. Relaxing enough to enjoy intimacy or to get to sleep. In blends, it can really help you with problem solving because it helps you break out of those mind ruts. Let me explain what I mean by mind ruts. When I was little, I lived near what's left of the Pioneer Trail. And when it rains, even across a well-plowed field that's been cultivated for over 100 years, when it rains, you can still see the water channeling down into the two wagon wheel ruts. In our minds, we do kind of the same thing. You have the same kind of a thought trail. You get to your memories through the same route, and you try to solve problems through the same route. And sometimes when you're going around these over and over, you can make kind of these mental ruts. And it can prevent you from finding creative solutions. In other words, thinking outside of the box, or in this case, thinking outside of those wagon wheel ruts. Like I said, it's good for reducing anxiety. It can help shift your mind away from stressful, inhibiting thoughts. That makes it this ally for breaking out of mental ruts and depressive thoughts. It can also help you to relax enough to enjoy intimacy or get to sleep. And in blends, it is great for problem solving, especially creative problem solving. As a tea blend, medicinally, it's helpful for menstrual cramps, but I usually like to blend that with several other herbs, including chamomile and others. Now, lavender is generally a safe plant, but always check the personal allergies and your medication for interactions. And I would avoid it when using any sedative medications or CNS, central nervous system depressants. It is an ally that's difficult to pin down. If you do your correspondence's research, you'll find a lot of sometimes conflicting uses. She'll offer you a multitude of energies. There will be days that lavender's energy is in perfect harmony with your own. Well, the next day you might find that her energy is out of sync with you. So generally, she's helpful in clearing out the cobwebs in your mind while soothing the anxiety. And that is the essence of lavender: cleansing and soothing, purification and peace. You can see how that energy would be great for giving sachets to friends to keep the friendship clear of negativity while providing peace and balance. Or how lavender oil in your diffuser can help lift heavy energy from a room and provide a more relaxed space. Lavender bundles well with mugwort and rosemary for smoke cleansing, particularly if you're not dealing with a lot of heavy issues or heavy psychic and magical attacks, but instead you just want that regular cleansing while promoting enhanced psychic and spiritual energies. Damiana is also used in the love tea. This plant is in the passion flower family, Ternaria. Her binomial, Ternaria diffusa, it used to be, Ternaria aphrodisiaca. But the Turner part of the name comes from, you guessed it, an old white man, a botanist, specifically the English naturalist William Turner, who around the 1530s to 1550s, he worked to share the knowledge of herbalists in his work. Yeah, studying the old herbalists is great. He's one to really look up. So William Turner, check that out on Wikipedia. Interesting, dude. Damiana is an ingredient in traditional Mexican liqueur that's used for margaritas, much like we use triple sec. And many people say that this liqueur is the original margarita liqueur. She contains many chemical compounds with strong anti-anxiety effects. She's also helpful when you have funny tummy, like that burbling and kind of gassiness. And much like lavender, her energy properties can help clear out the mind when you're trapped in the same thought patterns. Because of this, she can reduce sexual inhibitions, reduce nervousness, and pave the way for more creativity and help in creative problem solving. Avoid Damiana if you're pregnant or nursing, or if you're taking medication for hypoglycemia. It can interact with a lot of the hypoglycemia medications. Now, passion flower is used in the calming and stress relief tea on page 159 of the Practical Witch's Almanac. Passiflora incarnata. Passiflora means passion flower. Incarnata means embodied or incarnate. This plant is also called Maypop, and it grows all over the Practical Witch sanctuary where I live and work. It's used in food and flavoring, and in that category, food and flavoring, it's grass, GRAS, generally regarded as safe. But I would avoid it if you're taking other sedatives or anticoagulants. And specifically, avoid passion flower. Just, you don't have to, but I strongly recommend avoiding it if you're taking an MAOI or monoamine oxidase inhibitor. Basically, the prescriptions, cyclobenzaprine, or the brand names like Marplan, Nardil, MSAM, Parnate. You can't pronounce all the brand names, but you know, the anti-anxiety and depression medication. The plant has some powerful antioxidants, and it's very helpful in calming anxiety. And some people use it instead of anxiety medication, but you really have to know your mind and your body well to use that as a treatment. If you haven't already deducted, there is a theme here with the plant allies that reduce stress and anxiety and get you out of mind ruts. And you might want to explore blending the plants I'm talking about, the ones that have these common traits, to make your own creations for sleep, dream work, anxiety, or for breaking out of mind ruts, or even depressive thoughts. I find that passion flower has this unique ability, though, and sadly, I found it through experience. She tends to shield the heart from pain and is very helpful when working through grief and heartache. Her flowers are excellent for attraction, but be sure to focus your intent on exactly what you want to attract. So general attraction, if you wanted to attract money, she'd be helpful. For friends and sexuality and love, relationships, she's very good at that. But any kind of attraction, she's really helpful for. Like Damiana, passionflower is used as an aphrodisiac, and much of its conduciveness for arousal can, of course, be attributed to its power to calm those inhibitions. Its medicinal properties, as is often the case, closely mirror its magical properties of relaxation and mental stimulation, which is good for meditation, arousal, stress relief, that sort of thing. So thanks for joining me today. Next week, we're going to talk about protein, fats, and topics that my mind has categorized as adjacent to the topics of protein and hats. This has been a production of Practical Witch LLC in cooperation with witchacademy.org. You can listen and subscribe on your favorite streaming service, but if you'd like to learn more about witchcraft, herbs, and tarot, check out witchacademy.org. Blessed be.